Isaiah chapter 48. I've wrestled around about what to preach on, and a lot of times I just have to come to the conclusion that if I preach the Bible, the Lord will be pleased. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. All right, brother, you can turn me down. I just turned it on. You took a new tack tonight, didn't you? I noticed it. I got it. From the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And notice the emotion that God has in verse 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Oh, if you just would listen and obey and walk and serve. He says, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. And I want to preach on that thought tonight. Peace as a river. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing that we have no access apart from our Savior's work. So we come in His name and by His authority, asking that Your Spirit would open our hearts, our minds, and that tonight Your Word would go forth in power. That even right now, Lord, You're plowing up some ground for the seed, and that You'll bring it to life. That some soul might come to know what peace with God really is. And I pray that You would give us an understanding tonight of what it is to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. We need You, Lord. Father, I pray for my mom that You would touch her body, that You'd take away her fever, that You'd heal up her lungs. Lord God, I pray that You would give her grace even this moment to trust You. I pray for my dad that You'd help him, Lord. Lord God, we pray You bless this meeting tonight. Without You, we are nothing. Help us to love You more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are over 30 references to peace in the book of Isaiah alone. And in this passage, God likens peace to a river. It's a metaphor. It's a simile. He's saying, my peace is like a river. You know, there's a lot of striking parallels between the peace of God and a river. There's something therapeutic, soothing about being on a river, being on a riverbank, watching the water flow. Its waters are constant, even, continuous. It's often a place where preachers will go just to unwind, just to relax, just to meditate, just to think as the waters roll. It's a place, water is a good place where you can soothe your soul. You know, I think a lot of people in our world are searching for a measure of peace. They want to know what it is to have tranquility of soul. To not be stressed out, frustrated, terrified, fearful, worrying, fretting. That's what people are dealing with tonight. Sad thing is, most people are looking for a remedy for their soul in the wrong places. Their troubled conscience cannot be soothed by power or prestige or possessions or money or material things. They can't find peace there. It's not found in drugs or alcohol or immorality. And those are the places where people are looking tonight to find something that will fill that aching void in their soul, in their heart. They have no peace. Their hearts are disturbed. They don't know where to turn. And it's sad. But they're seeking for peace in the wrong places and in the wrong way. And I remember what it was to be miserable, to be sorrowful, to not have any peace at all when I'd go to bed at night, when I would pillow my head, and when the Lord had me under conviction how troubled my soul was. I knew what Isaiah meant when he said, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Isaiah 59:8, "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." It's one of the worst conditions that anyone can be in, is to have no peace with God. You'll never experience true and lasting peace in your heart and in your soul until you come to the realization that you need to have peace with God. You'll never know the peace of God until you first understand what peace with God is all about. Now, in the New Testament, peace is spoken of in two different ways, in a twofold sense. The first signifies reconciliation, contrasted from alienation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God is a position. It's a legal standing that you have. It's justification. When you trust Christ, it means that He bore all of your sins, all of your iniquity, and put them all away. He took all your guilt. And in return, the moment you believe, He imputes or charges to your account all of His righteousness, all of His merits, all of His obedience, so that now you stand legally declared not guilty, justified from all things, free from the condemnation and the wrath of God. Hallelujah! Man, I can remember when I was first called to preach. I didn't know hardly anything, and I was called to preach 6 months after I was saved. And I came forward on a Sunday night, and the preacher said, "Okay, you're going to preach on Wednesday night." Oh, man, you talk about just falling to pieces. And I can remember I got up, I don't think I even pronounced the book of the Bible correctly. And I got up to preach, and I announced my text, and here's how it felt to me. I mean, I was hyperventilating, you know? But I finally got through it. But when I first started preaching, I would take out C.D. Cole, T.P. Simmons, John Gill, and I'd study some doctrine. And then I'd do my best to ask the Lord for grace to be able to preach it. And I will never forget when I really understood what justification was. What it meant to be justified, to have my guilt, to know that it's all been put away, that Christ bore my sins in His body on the tree, and then He gave me His righteousness. I can remember as I was reading that, and I began to realize the truth of that, I began to shout in my study, "Thank You, Lord! How glorious it is to be able to go to bed at night knowing that You're not condemned, but that You have peace with God, that Jesus Christ has paid the full price, and there is nothing you have to do to merit God's love. It's all been done by Jesus Christ. Christ is all and in all." And I realized I'm justified from all things. Oh, how amazing God's grace is to be able to take vile, filthy, guilty, ungodly, immoral, sinful people and take away their guilt and give them legal standing. I'm accepted in the Beloved. It's as if God now looks at me through the righteousness of His Son, and when He said, "This is My Beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," that's how He looks at me now. He is well pleased with me in Jesus Christ. And that love that He has for me, it's never faltered, it's never failed, it will never diminish and it will never increase because it's an immutable love. And that righteousness that He gave me will never be abolished. Once the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to you, it will never be taken away. It is yours forever. The garments of salvation are of eternal worth. When He justifies you, it is forever. That's peace with God. It's a position. It's legal standing. It comes about through faith in the finished work of Christ. It is a judicial standing, a legal standing. But then there's also an experimental aspect of peace. See, peace with God is my legal standing. That will never be altered. It's finished. But the peace of God, that's something that you experience in your heart. And what I've found in 34 years of the Christian life, there's times when the peace of God is stronger and sometimes it wanes. And it's because of me. Never because of Him. But that's experience. This when the peace of God clears the conscience, The peace of God soothes the heart. It gives you tranquility of soul even under the most adverse of circumstances. But you know what? If you're walking against the Lord and you know it, you ain't going to enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. You're going to be troubled. So you have to understand, peace with God comes by faith in Jesus Christ. The peace of God is determined by your walk with the Lord. So now, let's think about this. How is peace like a river? And if you're thinking I got some real deep stuff, I don't. But I got to thinking, every river has a definite location, right? Now let's just take, friends, anybody been whitewater rafting on the Snake River? You know what? I could have said anything and Mandy was going to raise her hand. You know that? It's just her personality. God love her. But if you were going to go whitewater rafting on the Snake River, and you're going to get there from Missouri, does anybody know where it's at? All right. What if you said, man, this has been a dream of mine. I want to go whitewater rafting on the Snake River. I'm leaving tonight. And you just went out, got in your car, and started driving. Had no idea where it was, but you're gonna fulfill your dream. You're going whitewater rafting on the Snake River. Well, what if you started going east? It's not east. You'd never realize your dream, would you? Because you wouldn't know where in the world you were going. Well, the Snake River flows from northwest Wyoming through south Idaho. It's 1,038 miles long. So now that you know where it is, what's the next thing you'd do? You'd find a map, or you would Google it. Who would ever dream that a preacher would say, Google it? You know? But that's what's happening, man. Or you might have one of those women in your car. Yeah. You plug her in. And you punch something in and she starts barking commands at you. I got rid of her. She just aggravated me. I'm old school. I got to go old school. When I'm going to find out a place, I get out a map and then I Google it. First I look on the map and then I write it down. Because there have been times I've started out on a trip and I didn't have good directions and I got turned around. And I tell you, there is nothing more frustrating in all the world not knowing where you're going. I remember the first time when my wife and I were courting, we met at a Sunday school banquet and I had permission from her mother to take her home after the Sunday school banquet, the Sunday school workers banquet. Well, guess what I did? I turned the wrong way on I-275 and I wound up in Kentucky. Here I am trying to, you know, impress her parents, and I turned the wrong way. And the worst part of it was, she said, Tommy, I don't think you're going the right way. And I didn't have GPS. All I had was a sign that said Kentucky. Well, you talk about being embarrassed. One time I was having to preach in Mississippi and I got turned around. And I tell you what, it's hard when you got Ohio plates and you don't have a real good accent in Mississippi. And you start asking questions. Hey, can you tell me, I'm trying to get to this place, and they'll say, well, you just go down here, there'll be an old rusted out Chevy. You make a left there, go down the holler, and there'll be a pond right there. There's usually some ducks out there. Just turn right and then go a ways, and I'm sure you'll find it. I'd get back in the car and I'd say, honey, we ain't getting there. See, if you don't have the right directions, you're not going to get there. And the sad thing is, there are times that you get lost and you ask people and they'll tell you wrong. The fact of the matter is, without a reliable map, you will not get to your destination safely. Peace with God has a definite location and a map that tells you precisely how to get there. It's the Word of the Living God. The problem is that most people, the reason why they never come to peace with God is because they never take the time to solemnly examine the map and what it says and where to go and how to get there. They don't know. They don't care. They aren't willing to examine the information, or they've been misinformed and they're following the wrong direction. I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight, you better thank God. Because I'm telling you the truth. There's only one way to have peace with God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only right direction for peace with God. It can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, He is called the Prince of Peace because He is the royal owner and distributor of peace with God. Tonight, the only way that you can have peace with God is to have faith that Jesus Christ came into this world. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. There was no guile found in His mouth. He fulfilled all of the law, every precept in His heart, in His mind, inwardly, outwardly, everything. He lined up under the authority of God's law. He fulfilled it all. Not one sin did Jesus Christ ever commit. But that's not all. He was just not obedient. He was willing to suffer the penalty of the law for people who did not deserve it. Now, how amazing is that? That Jesus Christ would be completely perfect, that He would be absolutely righteous, and yet at the same time be willing to go to the cross, to suffer the shame, to have the wrath of God poured out on Him as their substitute. The substitute of enemies, of God-haters, of lawbreakers, of those who have defied the government of God. How amazing is the grace of Jesus Christ! Need I remind you what He endured, what He had to go through in order for me to have peace with God? As He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in His humanity, He cried with strong crying and tears. He said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. I believe that in His humanity, He began to feel the vice, the weight, the press, and the guilt of the sins of His people. And yet, He willingly took that cup and He pressed it to His lips. And He said, not My will, but Thine be done. He was betrayed by one of His own. One who had professed to be His follower. The emotional suffering of having someone you know that has traveled with you for 3.5 years to betray you for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. The soldiers dragged Him away. They took His robe off of Him. When they took Him to the pavement, Gabbatha, they began to beat Him mercilessly until His visage was so marred you couldn't even tell who He was because of the beating that He endured. They plucked His beard. They spat in His face. They mocked Him. They hated Him. They jeered at Him. They released an insurrectionist, Barabbas, instead of Him. And through it all, Jesus Christ, He willingly laid His life down. He was like a lamb dumb to the slaughter. He didn't utter a word of opposition because He had a work to finish. He was going to the cross so that I could have peace with God. And on the cross that day, at high noon, the sun went dark. The earth quaked. Jesus Christ was bearing His soul. He was offering Himself, and the wrath of Almighty God that should have fallen upon me fell upon the worthy head of my Savior. And He bore all of my sin, all of my guilt, every blasphemy, every wicked deed, every sinful thought. He took it all. And He went to the grave. He took my sins there. And the Bible says that He rose again without sin. You know where my sins are? They're gone. They're not just covered like Old Testament sacrifices. Because that's all they could do. All they could do was atone. And they had to be repeated year after year after year. High priests had to be replaced. But not so with Jesus Christ. By one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He rose again. He conquered death and hell and the grave for me. To justify me. To give me peace with God. How amazing is that? That He made peace through the blood of His cross. Psalm 85 verse 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. He satisfied all the claims of the law so that I could have peace with God. Tonight, you can have peace with God. Through faith in what Jesus Christ did. In fact, Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace. You ask anybody that's saved in here tonight, and they'll tell you there is nothing more wonderful than knowing that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. There's nothing that compares to it. Absolutely nothing in the world that you could think of that could even come close to comparing what it means to be able to pillow your head every night realizing that you're right with God, that you are accepted in the Beloved, that you are complete in Him, and that you are going to heaven. I have peace with God. It comes through faith. The Bible says in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Do you have peace with God tonight? You'll never know the peace of God until you come to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. To reject what I just preached, to dismiss it, you're on dangerous ground. Because Jesus Christ is the most gracious, loving, wonderful person in all the world. And He makes a difference in people's lives. And He will save you. You know what He told that woman? He said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Man, I can remember the day I was saved. Oh, I had been so burdened, so convicted, so troubled, and tore up in my soul. And the day that I looked at Greg Rittenhouse and I said, "I need to be saved." He looked at me and he said, "Yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you for 10 months. I said, "No, you don't understand. I need to be saved right now. Right now." And I believe the Lord saved me right then, right there. Like I said, the heavens didn't open. I didn't hear a voice. There wasn't a lightning strike. Little birds weren't flying around my head. I just knew that I had trusted Jesus Christ. And my life changed forever. Peace with God. Now something else about a river. It not only has a definite location, but every river has banks or boundaries in which it flows. These boundaries contain the river and give it a continuous and a harmonious flow in a single direction. And in like manner, the peace of God that passes all understanding flows freely within the parameters of the Word of God. It's just this simple. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. You will never have the peace of God if you're outside the parameters of His Word as a believer. Look at this in Colossians chapter 3. And verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And notice what's tied to this peace of God. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." You know what the Scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 165? "Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You want to have great peace? You walk within the parameters of the Word of God. Say, "Well, I don't like boundaries." Well, the Apostle Paul, when the Lord saved him, you know what his testimony was in Romans chapter 7? He said, For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." The mark of being born again, regenerate, and having a new man is that your whole attitude changed. Now you want to walk in God's commands. You want to obey His law. You want to follow Jesus Christ. And He magnified the law. Now I realize I can't be saved by the law. I'm saved by Christ who kept the law and took the condemnation of the law. But now that I'm saved, I have a whole new attitude. I love God's law. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. His commandments aren't my enemies, they're my friends." I want to walk within the parameters. You see, a river becomes tumultuous and dangerous when it floods. when it erodes the banks and goes outside the banks, and our lives will not be peaceful unless we stay within the parameters of God's Word and His will. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 8 says this, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." You know what God's Word is? It's a hedge of protection. You get in it. You obey it. You walk. You abide. You start getting away, getting outside of it. You know what? The serpent's going to bite you. You're going to have trouble. You're going to look. And I don't know. I've never been bit by a snake. But I envision that it would really disrupt your peace. You know? Have you ever been watching a show where they're catching snakes or they're dealing with rattlesnakes? I don't know about you, but just watching it, my heart starts racing. And I start thinking, no! Don't go there, man! And then I look at God's people. And I see them sometimes playing around the hedge of the world. Maybe reaching her hand through and seeing if there's anything out there. I guarantee you, it's all poison. Don't go outside the parameters. You'll get bit. Now, something else about a river. It flows in a single direction. The water flows in the same way, even though many bends may shape its course. If our lives are going to enjoy the peace of God, our heart and our mind needs to be flowing with God. Walking in His ways, applying His principles, all of God's attributes flow into His holiness and love. Our measure of peace will be directly related to our thought life and our pursuit of holiness to be more like our Savior. Think about all the verses that deal with that. Psalm 119. We always quote 9 and 11 about hiding the Word in our heart. And how shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed unto God's Word? But nobody ever quotes verse 10. You know what that says? And I wonder, have you ever done this? With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Man, the resolve that David said, that voice of resolution, with my whole heart, with all of my inward being, with all of my desire, I have sought Thee. And yet he also understands his frailty and he says, oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. You want peace tonight? You want to have peace in your life? Whenever somebody comes to me for marriage counseling, counseling about sin in their life, I always give them homework. I believe in homework. I'm going to give you some homework tonight. You want to know the depth and the power and the grace of peace? Memorize and meditate on Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. There's the peace. And it's directly related to what you think about. What you got your mind on. You know what the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 6? For to be carnally minded is death. What is death? It's separation from God. You know what? When you get out of sorts with the Lord, you separate yourself from Him in fellowship. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What have you been thinking about lately? Maybe that's why you don't have a whole lot of peace. Because your mind is in the wrong place. Your affections are in the wrong place. You can expect no peace if you're not trying to... Here's a terrible thing to do. Try to serve God and the world at the same time. It's not going to work. You can't walk in two directions at the same time. It's very uncomfortable. It's impossible to love that which God hates and be happy and content and peaceful. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but of the world. You're not going to have a peace of God if you are pursuing the world. Get it out. Purge it. Get rid of it. It's disrupting your peace. Which brings me to my next point. A river is continually purging and cleansing itself. Notice that about a river? It's flowing. It's not like a stagnant pool where the waters never flow. In a river, the waters are always moving, always replacing itself. One of the secrets to real peace in the life of a believer is continual cleansing. What's the Bible say in 1 John chapter 1? These things write I unto you, that your joy might be full. And how is that brought about? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You want real peace? Be transparent with God. Stop trying to hide your sin, because it won't work. He sees everything. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking right now. How foolish it is for us to try to hide anything from God. Fess up! Get right! And see how much freedom, how much liberty you have when you just go to God with your sins. And that's the way, if you're lost here tonight, give up! Stop the struggle in your mind, in your soul. Say, well, I don't understand. Give up! Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come. Just trust the Lord to deal with your sins. That's it! You're going to walk with God. You need that cleansing. Something else about a river. A river's path is always marked by growth. There's usually abundant foliage. There may be some wildflowers growing around. You know, whenever somebody wanted to settle somewhere, where'd they want to settle? Near a river. This is a place of growth. Turn over with me to Philippians chapter 4. Don't you want this for your life? This peace that passes all understanding? Look where it's located at. It's a place of growth. Philippians 4, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You know what would be a good idea? You want to have the peace of God? A measure of it. Turn everything off. This is the age of the machine, man. Everybody's tied to a machine. You ever go to a restaurant? Nobody actually talks to each other anymore. They're all pecking on the machine. Turn them off. Turn off the computer. Turn off the television. Turn off the radio. Turn it all off! And get your mind on God. Get in His Word. See, that's where the peace is. It's in God, in His Word, in the things of the Lord. Don't let the devil muddy up the waters of your mind and of your life. Get connected with the Lord instead of all these other things that will... I tell you what, you listen to the news too much. Man, it won't be long before you'll just... "Whoa! I can't believe that happened!" Man, you won't have no peace. Like people turn into the Incredible Hick on Buffalo Creek. Get your mind on the Lord. What's the Bible say in Psalm 1? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." And guess what? "He shall be like a tree planted" where? "By the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There it is. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." I got two more points. Can you endure them? That would be a total of 7 if you're keeping track. And you know what? People usually don't get very excited about a 7-point sermon. But you start talking about a 7-point buck, man, now you're talking. Yeah, we'll sit in the woods for 10 hours if we can get us a 7-point buck. They're going to really love you by the time I'm done, brother. You know, the peaceful flow of a river may be disturbed by outside forces. Storms cause floods. Fallen trees block the smooth flow of a river. And even men make dams and dam up the river. And you know, there are a lot of outside forces that may disturb your peace, like worrying, How often do you worry and fret over things that you have no control over and that don't even come to pass? You let it race in your mind. You lose sleep at night because you're trying to figure out a way to make it all fit or avert some problem. Forget about it. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't you believe that the one who has saved your soul, that He has the ability to take you through every step of your life? Sure. Just trust Him. How about when you get jealous? When you're malicious? When you get angry? When you get bitter? You get your mind focused on somebody you think's offended you. And you get bitter about it. You know what? That only hurts you. It don't hurt the object of your bitterness, because most of the time they have no idea. It hurts you. You know what you got to do? You got to remove the debris. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it so you can flow with the Lord. Lastly, there's some smiles. Lastly, every river has an ultimate destination. All rivers, whether large or small, ultimately flow into a larger body of water. And likewise, the peace of God that we cultivate and enjoy in this life will ultimately flow into the immeasurable ocean of eternity in the very presence of our God. The Bible says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever, and My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." How glorious it is that the peace that we enjoy here in part is one day going to come to full fruition. And we're going to stand in the very presence of the One who gave us that peace. And we're going to delight ourselves in Him. And we'll be with all the redeemed of all ages, dressed in spotless white, forgiven, praising God, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Everyone that He died for will be there, all accounted for, all wearing the garments of salvation, and all enjoying the peace of God through all eternity. In fact, the eternal ages are marked by a river that flows from the throne of God. Revelation chapter 22. Man, I got peace with God tonight. And I enjoy the peace of God. I pray. Man, if you're troubled, just give it up. Trust the Lord. Come to Him now. Let's all stand. Brother, you come and take over the service, Brother Reynolds.